Today is October the 3rd. We are meeting with local farmer rancher Mike Harden, and we'll be asking him questions about cattle ranching south of Dodge City. Okay, Mr. Harden, do you remember when your family first came to Clark County?
I think it was 1884 is when my great-grandfather and great-great-grandfather moved from Iowa.
Do you know why they came?
I don't. Well, not specifically. I know my great-grandfather had lost his wife to a tornado, and one of his, one of his sons.
Was the tornado here or in Iowa?
No, it was in Iowa.
Okay. Do you know what year the family farm or ranch was established?
Well, I would assume it was about that time. Now, where they originally homesteaded, they lost that in the 90s with the drought. And so my great-grandfather homesteaded down on the creek. He homesteaded a school quarter.
What does that mean?
Well, out of every township, the school was given a quarter of land to help with the expenses of the school. Now, on some of those quarters, there may have been a building built, but I don't know that for sure.
Does that mean that he paid rent and the rent went to the upkeep of the school?
Well, no, he homesteaded on it. It was for sale,
Okay.
He homesteaded on it, was my understanding.
And the school district received the monies from
the
sale?
I assume so.
Okay. Are you the second, third, fourth generation?
Well, it depends upon whether you count my great-great-grandfather or great-grandfather.
What was your family's traditional role in the area?
Well, I guess they were farmers and stockmen. I guess that was their traditional role.
Did they ever branch out and do other things?
Well, my grandfather had a trucking business in the 30s. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, I don't think so.
Okay. What types of crops and livestock did your family run?
I think mostly wheat was the main crop that they grew, and I'm not exactly sure what kind of livestock they had. My father had a yearling operation. Mm-hmm. My grandfather, I'm not exactly sure what he had. I never did visit with him about that, and I don't know what my great-grandfather had. Mm-hmm.
When you were growing up, did your father focus on a specific breed of cattle?
No, he would buy calves at the sale barn and background them.
Mm-hmm. What does backgrounding mean?
Well, it means that you wean the calves off the cows and then for a 30-day period, you check them every day and doctor the ones that become sick. Mm-hmm. And after 30 days, you usually can put them on either wheat pasture or grass and not have to check them every day.
Okay. Is that something you did when you were young?
Yes. That's been a part of my operation for the last 40 years, is I have backgrounded cattle for wheat pasture and grass. I have owned cows for the last 10 years, but...
Which do you enjoy more?
Well, it's fun to watch the new calves born. And that part I really enjoyed, but I also enjoyed backgrounding the cattle. I enjoyed riding through them and picking out the sick ones and doctoring them. Mm-hmm.
Describe your land. Is there any special topography? Are you on water? What kind of ground do you have?
Well, some of this is along Bluff Creek, which is northeast of Ashland, and some of it is fairly rough pasture ground. It's got some deep gorges or canyons in it.
Is all of your ground in Clark County then?
Yes.
Okay. Do you farm ground that has good water? Has water been an issue for you?
Now, what do you mean, good water?
Okay. Here in Ashland, the water is so hard that sometimes it's difficult. Do you have to, is that what you give your animals as well?
Yes.
Has it ever caused any issues for you?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. I only say that because my daddy has a feed yard. Okay. Do you know if your family, you said your grandpa homesteaded the ground, the school ground?
My great-grandpa.
Okay. Are you still farming all of his land?
No.
Then, even though you lost some in the 90s?
No, I've got brothers that farm some of it.
Okay. How has your family's role in this community changed?
I'm not so sure that it has changed. My great grandfather was served on a jury back in 1899, and my grandfather was a county commissioner, and so he was involved in some of the. And then my grandfather was involved in establishing the museum, and I have served on that board myself. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know that our role has really changed in the community.
So, your family is still serving in traditional ways that your grandfathers began?
Yes.
Okay. Did you add ground to your original family's holdings then, since you have two brothers?
Yes.
Paul and?
Jim.
Thank you. So, it's Jim, Mike, and Paul Harden. And all three of you are still in farming.
Well, Paul retired this year, but yes, up until now, he was involved in farming.
Okay. That's a lot of continuation. Has your family had to hire outside help?
Yes.
Did you have to pay them in kind? Were they year-round employees? How did you manage that?
Well, I had year-round employees, and if I remember right, my father had year-round employees as well. So he just used some of the farm income to pay them. Mm-hmm. Now, my dad did have a house that he allowed some of the employees to live in, so that was part of in-kind payment, I guess.
I've heard of people that give half a beef or something for a family. I didn't know if you did that as well.
I'm not sure if my dad did or not, and that's not something that I really did either.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about your current operation. Are you still farming and ranching? Are the two combined?
Yes.
So you run cattle on wheat pasture?
Yes, if I have it.
Mm-hmm. How has the new no-till chemical farming affected how you run cattle?
Well, if you're a true no-till farmer, you don't run cattle on the...
Minimum till, let's say it that way. Okay.
You don't run cattle on the farm ground. It compacts it too much.
Mm-hmm. Are you still grazing your wheat then?
Yes, I'm still grazing.
Okay.
I have kind of done a minimum till along with the farming. Mm-hmm. I have found that I need to farm the ground. Mm-hmm. And the weeds are getting to where they're resistant to the spray. So yeah. I've had to incorporate farming into my operation. Mm-hmm. I have gone back to farming more.
Mm-hmm. How do you think ranching has changed in the last 100 years?
For the most part, I think that the operations have gotten larger. I think there's fewer small farmers. There's fewer small ranchers. I think it's consolidated, and I see it consolidating even more over the next years.
Do you know what average sizes were, or how much the size of an average ranch has changed?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
I know that I'm, at this present time, I'm probably farming the land that four or five farmers farmed.
How long ago?
Oh, 40 years ago, 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So you've absorbed...
Yes, I've absorbed several operations myself, mm-hmm. and I'm sure that mine will be absorbed too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When we talk about the changes in ranching, you spoke of riding out and checking your weanling calves. Do you still use horses? Have four-wheelers changed how you operate?
Well, I... With the new calves, you better have to use a horse because you can't head a calf with a four-wheeler, and you can't get as good a look on a four-wheeler as you can a horse. Mm-hmm. You can do a lot more on a horse than you can a four-wheeler, but when it comes to moving the cattle, four-wheelers are the thing. A lot of individuals have gone to four-wheelers. Now, another thing that has come into play is a dart gun. You can shoot a sick calf and put it to sleep, and then you can doctor it, and then you can give it a counteracting drug, and within 10 minutes it'll be back up on its feet. Mm-hmm. So that saves having to rope them or put them in a catch pen to doctor them.
Mm-hmm. Are there other ways that modern technology has changed how you take care of your animals?
Well, one of the biggest changes I've seen is the cake wagon.
What is a cake wagon?
Well, it holds pellets that are made into cubes that mm-hmm. the cattle enjoy eating, and those cubes have supplements in them, and the biggest supplement is the protein. Mm-hmm. So I can drive out and check 300 or 400 head of cattle right quick and get a good count on them. You just string the cake in a line mm-hmm. and turn around and count the cattle as they're grazing in a line along the cake line.
Okay, when people say they're caking their cattle, for somebody that hasn't seen it done, how would you describe that?
Well, the cake comes out of the side of a big box that has an auger in it, and it augers it in the ground in a narrow band, mm-hmm. and the cattle can graze and pick it up, and it when you put it in a narrow band, they will automatically run up and down that line, and they will get themselves in a line so you can get a good look and count on them.
Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming that when you go to move cattle to a different patch, you use the cake wagon to entice them.
You can lead them with the cake wagon because they'll follow the cake wagon, expecting to get fed.
Okay. Which is easier than chasing them, too.
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember any family stories of natural disasters besides the fire?
The only story I know of is the drought in the 30s. My dad talked about it. My grandfather talked about it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. How did it affect them?
Well, they weren't able to get much production off the land. They weren't able to grow crops, and the grass was short, and so they had to make do with a lot less. There wasn't much income back there in the 30s when they were so dry.
You remember the drought of the 50s?
Vaguely.
Okay.
But we had a bigger drought in around 2011 and 12.
How did that affect your operation?
Well, I had to sell off a lot of my cattle, so I didn't have anything to feed them.
Mm-hmm. Have you built your herd back up?
Well, I'm trying to retire, so I have sold off most of my cattle. So I'm taking in cattle on my grass, so I don't own very many cattle anymore.
How does that change your day-to-day life, not owning your cows?
Well, I don't have as much to do now.
When you say taking in cattle, for folks that haven't done this, describe what that means.
Well, I own some pasture ground, and to utilize it, I have someone else bring me their cattle, and I put them on the grass and furnish the water and the grass and the fence.
Do you check them daily?
No, that's part of the deal I made with the individual. Mm-hmm. They check them themselves, so but you can check them and furnish that as part of the cost of taking in the cattle.
Mm-hmm. So you're basically leasing your grass
out. I'm leasing my grass out, yes.
Okay. The cattle that you see now, I know you've sold off your cows and you're leasing out your ground. Describe the physical differences in the cattle that you see grazing your ground now that you had when you first started farming and ranching.
Well, the individual that is leasing my grass runs Longhorn and Corianna cattle, so they're not the most best quality of livestock. But he makes it work for him.
Are they specialty cattle for roping or showing?
No, they're just a lower grade of cattle. He buys them cheap and can afford to take less for them. But there's a lot of money to be made off of cheap cattle. If you can buy them right and sell them right, you can make a lot of money.
Okay.
Sometimes people pay too much for the better quality cattle and don't make as much money on them.
Right. What kind of cattle were you running when you first started?
Well, I bought calves at the sale, and they were just a mixture of cattle. They were, well, we used to buy them at the sale, and then we used to have them shipped in. Mm-hmm. We had a cattle buyer that would buy them in Texas and ship them to us, and then we got to buying them out of Kentucky and Tennessee.
So you were buying weans. You were not doing bucket calves.
No.
Okay.
They were pulled off the cows and taken to the sale and sold. So we had to wean them.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of doctoring and
yes.
Care. How have the methods of feeding cattle and the type of feed that you give them and the medications that we use now, how do those compare to when you first began?
Well, one of the biggest changes in the medicine is they have medicines that you give under the skin instead of the muscle, and they last 4 or 5 days, so you can give an animal a shot and not have to worry about it for 4 or 5 days, whereas with the old medicines, you had to doctor them for 3 days in a row. So you had to confine them because it was too big of a job to get them up every time. So that meant taking them to the corral and feeding them in the corral, and so they weren't out on the pasture. I find the new medicines are a lot more friendly to weaning the calves because, well, if the weather's bad, you can give a calf a shot, and then you don't have to get it up the next day and mess with it.
And you can leave it on clean grass
Yes. Instead
of in the corrals.
Instead of in the corral, yes.
May I ask when you started farming?
Oh, about 1970, 1971.
Okay. And you took over your father's ground, or did you have to buy his ground? How did you do that?
Well, I was able to rent some other ground, mm-hmm. and I used some of my dad's equipment to get started. And then once I had some income, then I was able to buy some of my own equipment, and then I was able to get on my own and not continue to farm with my father. Mm-hmm. I had enough ground of my own that I had to hire some help, and it was a large enough operation that I didn't need to be combined with my father. Of course, my father had some other sons that were farming with him at the time, so.
Mm-hmm. But he gave you the boost with the equipment to yes. help you get going on your own.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Looking back, what was the smartest thing you ever did?
You know, I thought about that, and I don't know that there's anything that I can point to that was the smartest thing I did.
Okay, what's something that actually worked?
Well, my dad was able to buy some land in 1971, and I was able to partner with him on part of it. And in 1972, the price of wheat doubled, and the price of cattle doubled, and the price of the land doubled. And so the income off of the land paid for the land.
So you bought it at the right time.
Bought it at the right time, yes. Timing is everything.
Because I'm trying to remember, it seems like 78, 79, things got $4 wheat.
Yes.
Okay. So you...
This was in 1970, we got $1.10 for our wheat. And then it went to $2.50.
Doubled.
Yeah, it doubled. And then in 1973, it went to almost $6.
I'm assuming that you were cutting your own wheat at this time.
Well, I'm highly allergic to the wheat dust, so I couldn't run a combine, so I had to hire it done.
Okay. Can you tell me what you had to pay a custom cutter at that time?
Back then, it was probably $10 an acre, I'm thinking.
Did you do flat rate on the acre? Or three tens?
I'm sure it was three tens.
Okay.
$10 for the cutting and $10 or 10 cents a bushel for the hauling and 10 cents an acre for each bushel over 20 bushels to the acre.
Can you tell me what ground averaged back then?
We were able to purchase that land for $80 an acre.
Okay.
Within a year and a half or so, it had doubled in price.
What were yields averaging back then?
If we had a 20 bushel wheat crop, we thought we were doing good because mm-hmm. we didn't fertilize at that time.
Mm-hmm. When did you start using anhydrous?
About 1973, 72, 73.
What happened after you started?
Well, the yields increased.
To?
Oh, I can remember when I cut my first 40 bushel wheat crop. Some of the land that I leased in 1972, the wheat made 40 bushel per acre. Well, it's 30 some bushel per acre, and she hadn't had a good crop like that ever.
Mm-hmm. And it was because of anhydrous?
Yes, because of the fertilizing.
After anhydrous got a little overdone, how have you changed your fertilization?
I'm probably not doing as good a job as fertilizing as I had been because of the cost of the fertilizer.
Yeah. Can you tell people how that compares?
When I started, anhydrous was, if I remember right, was like $60 a ton. And diesel fuel was like 10 or 12 cents a gallon. And a two-wheel drive tractor was $8,000. And today, diesel fuel is $2.40. And anhydrous is $450-some a ton. And a two-wheel drive tractor is probably right at $100,000. You could buy a brand-new pickup for $4,500 and... One of those today is $45,000 at least.
I know we sold some wheat for a little over $4 this year, but I don't know what the average price was this year. I just don't remember. So, I'm trying to make it very clear how the prices have changed and the income has changed.
Well, if it wasn't for the good wheat crop this year, we would have lost money because of the price, but we had an exceptional yield. This is probably the best crop that I've ever cut. ever harvested.
What was the best yield you had on one patch?
This year? Mm-hmm. 60-some bushels per acre.
So to go from 20 to 60?
Yes.
Now, do you know what your total average was for everything?
I think it was a little over 50 bushel per acre.
That is going out with a bang, sir.
Yes.
Okay.
I should have retired this year.
May I ask, what is leading you to retire?
Well, I need to lower my stress level, and I'm getting to the age where it's more difficult to put in the time and the hours, and so I'm needing to slow down. So, and then I've got a grandson that's wanting to come back, so I'm trying to turn some of it to him.
Because you know, our next question is, how are you preparing the next generation to take over the operation?
I lease a little bit of ground to my grandson so he could get started, so he could get him a farm loan. And if I wasn't so far in debt, I would be turning more of it to him. I need to realign my debt, and maybe then I could turn more of it to him.
Mm-hmm. How have you tried to train him to take over something of this size?
Just working with me is all I know how to teach him.
Is he the one that was welding out in front of your shop this morning?
No, that's a different one.
Okay. What would you tell somebody that was wanting to get into farming and ranching now?
Get you a good education and think about doing something else. It has its ups and downs, and you work for nothing, basically. Now, it's a good life. I have enjoyed doing it, but the rewards are not as great as getting a good job and getting a retirement.
That being said, what do you see happening to farming and ranching in the future?
I see it consolidating even more.
What will the results of that be? Will the prices have to go up?
I'm not sure. It's a worldwide market now, so you're competing with other countries now. So that opens up a whole new
It means that things are going to change even faster for us.
It could be.
Do you see our community ever regaining the population?
No, I do not. There's not the jobs here. There's nothing for young people to do here. And I see it being worse. I don't see anything to keep the young people here.
Okay. But at the end of the day, you have enjoyed what you did and how you made it work.
Yes, there's a part of it I have enjoyed, but it's a little bit disappointing when you come to the end and there's not much there after working so hard. When you look at someone that's gotten a good job and a good retirement and not had all the stress, you kind of wonder if it's really worth it.
Well, on that note, I think you have talked about how your family got started farming and ranching in this area. I know your one brother retired. You're retiring probably next year, or you're trying to ease out of the farm.
Trying to ease out, yeah.
And your other brother is still continuing?
Yes.
Okay. And you have one grandson that wants to farm?
Yes.
But your son went off and got education and is doing other things.
I have two sons, and one's in the military, and he's retiring next year. But he's going to get a job somewhere else, and he says he's not coming back to the farm, which mm-hmm. is fine. I mean, I want him to do what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. And my other son has a good job, so he seems to be content with that. Mm-hmm.
The grandson who is taking over the farm, who was his father?
Brian, he was my stepson. Mm-hmm. So this is a step-grandson. Mm-hmm.
But he has the bug.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Harden, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
You're welcome.